Well, we're going to be in Matthew 6. There's a sermon outline in your bulletin. I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. I want to make sure before we begin, I always like to say hello to all of our church family that's watching online. And this morning especially, I want all of us to share a greeting to Christina Tomlin. Christina's walking through cancer right now, and she's got some big chemo treatments on March 13th and on the 27th. Told her we would be praying for her and lifting her up. So everybody, just real quick, can we give a round of applause? Christina, we love you. God bless you. The whole family. God is faithful. Well, we've been looking at this call to keep growing. And we know that God has this life for us that is much bigger than who we are, and we've got to grow into it. And last week, we began by talking about the issue of serving. And how serving is how we continue to open up our lives for God to do what only God can do. And this week we want to talk about the area of worship. Because worship, as you'll see in your outline, is always the answer to grow. I share a lot about this topic in the devotional book. And actually, online is going to be the devotions for this week. You can go to our website. I'll show it to you later. On worshiping faithfully. And in my devotional book, I said, if I could give my children one gift out of all the things I give them, I'd give them this: the ability to worship even when times are hard. Because God is going to always be faithful to us, but we tend, when life gets hard, because we in our circumstances feel far from God, we tend to let our hearts drift far from God. And yet it's in those moments that if we can learn to worship in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pain, that we will discover not just growth, but victory like we have never had before. And so the big idea of this message is this: that regardless of circumstances or people or my own strengths and weaknesses, I will keep growing if I worship God faithfully. I want you to just think about this for a moment. Regardless of circumstances, I sing God is great. I sing no one's greater than you. But to be honest, in my circumstances, almost everything seems greater than you, God. Well, to get into worship and to continue to declare the truth, though the circumstances don't want to agree, is for me to grow. Regardless of the people around my life, and there are times that people especially make us feel like a victim or make us feel small, and yet Christ says to us that as we're in worship, that we're loved, that we are greatly loved, that we are not alone, that God has a hope and a future for us. And of course, you can't ignore those parentheses, my own strengths, my own weaknesses, that in the middle of all that, regardless of those things, that if I will continue to worship the one who loves me, the one who gave me life, the one who is not finished, that I will not just grow in the sense of character and emotionally, I will grow in God's victory. And so it's a real simple message this morning and a call to us that no matter what the circumstances, God's calling us to continue to know him. Worship is about his presence. It is about his goodness. It's about not taking my eye off that, even though everything around me tells me that don't trust, don't believe. We live in a world that wants to make God really small, and yet he is always the king of the universe, no matter what we're going through, and he has victory for us. And so I know a lot of times when we talk about worship, we tend to think about just worship service. And we tend to think about what it's looked like. And here is resident theologian Tim Hawkins to explain worship to us. If my clicker works. Clicker? There we are.
I'll walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine.
Different ways to quote-unquote worship.
Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you, grace. Next one's hold my baby, hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn.
I'm a big heartburn guy.
Right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life.
All right, there we go. Thank you, Tim. People tend to want to make worship about what it looks like on the outside, and maybe we'll touch on some of that, why we do lift our hands. I am a big heartburn guy, get plenty of heartburn because I'm so excited about what God's doing, and everything in me is agreeing with what I'm seeing, and so I can't help express it. But I want to talk about the habit of worship. Now, I want you to hear, before we even talk about this habit, worship is about adoration. It's about falling in love with the one who loves us. We live in a world that is so broken and so impersonal, and we forget what it is to be loved greatly. And you are loved greatly this morning by the one who invites you to worship him. He invites you to worship him because as you focus on him, the one who is love and who's created you wants to pour out some very good things in your life. And he's calling you to focus on him so that instead of focusing on all your pain and all your problems and all your frustrations, because none of that's giving you life, none of that's making life any better, but to focus on the one who has so much life for you this morning. But in the habit of worship, in the habit of remembering the one we love so much, and your relationships are only as good as your habits in those relationships, in the habit of your relationship with God, what we want to do in worship is we want to get in the habit of putting myself in a place to do three things. First, to actually focus on the greatness of God. Then to submit to it. And then finally, to truly experience it. Because God is great. And he is one that has called us to know it. Now, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's the first thing Jesus taught us to pray. And that word hallowed, that's not a word you and I, use a lot anymore. We're not throwing that out while we're at work or at school. But that word hallowed means to treat as sacred or as ultimate. To truly know the greatness of. And so, when Jesus, he said, look, every day, I want you to pray first. Every day, I want you to come to the Lord. I want you to depend on me. And he's saying the first thing you do in prayer is remember that God, that nobody's great, nobody's bigger than God. No one's greater than him. He's the ultimate word on your life, not anybody else, not any circumstance, not the weakness or strength of your life. He's ultimate. He's the greatest. And as we come into that and we remember that, God begins in that worship then to form us. It's as if we're saying, our Father in heaven, the first thing I do is I just want to stop and put myself in a place before I list what I need to be forgiven about, what I need provision for, daily bread, none of that stuff. The first thing I want to do is I want to focus on you, I want to submit to you, and I want to experience you. Now, sometimes to focus on God has nothing to do with a physical place. Sometimes to put myself in a place to focus on God, all I got to do is close my eyes. All I have to do is close my eyes and remember that what I'm seeing is not nearly as real as what I'm not seeing. And that he is the one who rules and reigns. And then sometimes to focus on God, it's not about what I'm looking at, it's what I'm listening to. And that's where I got to change what I'm listening to, and maybe I need to put some worship music on. I had a really cool experience this week. I kind of ran into a super old worship course that back in the day I loved, and just singing it again brought back all of this reminder of God's faithfulness and goodness. I don't know the last time you kind of backtracked with some of your worship choruses and kind of found one that meant a lot to you, maybe a hymn that meant a lot to you back in the past. And come on iTunes, man, you can find it all, right? And just, man, grab that one and start playing it this week as a reminder. And all of a sudden, my focus got really sharp because that experience of that song I hadn't heard in so long, that was a reminder. Boy, that was God's word for me in that one season. And just a powerful reminder. Sometimes focus is I got to get away from certain people, and I come into the house of the Lord, or I get into a room where nobody's at, or I take a walk in the woods. I get some place that can really focus. I don't know what focus is to you, but when everything else seems to be taking our attention and everything else is dominating our brain, that act, that habit of worship begins with focus, and then it turns into submitting. Now, I don't know if you've ever had that time where someone was telling you about, maybe it was a meal that, oh, you got to try this food. And you're like, I don't want to try that food. Yeah. Or it was a movie, and you're like, I do not want to see that movie. But somehow they kind of coaxed you into trying the food. You submitted, you like opened up and let it in, or you kind of, all right, I'll watch that movie. And, you know, you sat down, you started watching, and all of a sudden, I was like, I actually like this. I didn't know I was going to like it. But when I finally kind of submitted to trying to try it, when I opened myself up, when I kind of gave in and surrendered a bit, all of a sudden, man, I started, you know, I decided, I actually like this. This is valuable to me. Well, in worship, there are a lot of times we can come in and we can begin to focus, but focus isn't really the same as submitting. It's not the same as really opening up and surrendering and saying, you know what, God, as I just don't want to just be around you. I want to surrender to your greatness. That's why a lot of times I'll bow in the middle of worship, because it's my way of just not just focusing on God, but just submitting and saying, man, I just recognize he's great. And so I want to challenge you. I don't know if you did. Did you submit during worship today? In the end, we're going to come up and have a little bit more worship at the end of the service. And that sense of, I just want to focus and I just want to give myself to how great God is. Yeah, you know, I've shared this in the past. This last time I was in Ethiopia, it's one of my favorite places to worship is in Africa. And it could be just hot as all get out. I mean, it's in the middle of the desert. And when it gets windy, they decide to shut all the doors and windows in the sanctuary, which I asked Pastor Miska, why do we do that? He's like, well, we don't want anything wind blowing. I'm like, okay, I'm losing pounds rapidly in the middle of worship. But we'll be in the middle. It'll be hot. It'll just be hot as could be. And what they do there is they open up their hands, and they kind of do this stance. And there's a lot of jumping up and down and shouting. And the Lord just spoke to me one time. I was in the middle of all of it. And the Lord just spoke to me, said, Sean, this is what submitting is. This is open up your hands, get off your feet, and pour out your heart. Don't just be around me this morning. Submit to me. Let my greatness and my goodness fill your life. And so it looked a lot like this. You ever get in a river, you ever get in a James or something, the current's hard, and you know, you just decide you're going to stand really hard against it because you don't want to go any place, you don't want to be moved. And yet when we get into worship, it should be the exact opposite. We shouldn't be standing hard, we shouldn't be saying, I'm going to be where I am. It's like, no, we should submit and let the current begin to move us. Well, I don't feel very thankful. All right, you know, we're singing a song about how good God is and not anything good is happening. No, don't stand still. Don't just decide just because that's not you, you're not going to budge on it. It's like, no, let your heart melt some. Let your hands open up instead of holding everything so hard, instead of standing on your feet. No, get off those feet and pour out your heart and tell them how you're feeling, because there is a God who is a never waterfall, an ever giving waterfall of life. You know, that's the call of worship. And again, to begin to develop that habit of worship. And it really is a decision of my mind. It's a decision of my will. It's not going to stay there because eventually I'm going to start to experience it. And as I begin to experience that presence, then all of a sudden what I've been thinking, what I came in with, and the things that didn't seem good in my life, I mean, it's not that I'm ignoring them. It's just I found what? What was greater than them. I love this Psalm 73. And I think God puts the Psalms in there to let us know it's okay to feel some things. Because, you know, the greatest category of Psalms are laments. The number of Psalms that are the most chapters are about people who are having a rough time. And they're talking about how things are hard in their life. And God put that in the Bible so that you could see that there's a way to relate and worship God even when things are going bad. That there, it's not a lack of faith. It's a sign of you're having faith in the midst of a world that's trying to quench you. Then you're going to feel some things. And I love Psalm 73 because the psalmist literally says, "Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure to follow you, God." The psalmist is saying it doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore to follow you, God. And he says, all day long, I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. You ever get in a phase of life where just like every morning is hard? Well, this psalmist is saying that's the experience he's having. And then he says, when I tried to understand this, like, why is it so hard? Why does it seem in vain that everything I'm doing for God doesn't, there's no fruit, there's no reward to it. He says, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. In other words, it got him pretty bitter. It got him pretty upset. Started getting like, God, yeah, why don't you love me? If you love me, why isn't any of this good? You know, where are you? And then he says this, till I entered the sanctuary of God to worship. Then I understood. And you know, the thing I want us to walk away with today is that without worship, we'll give up instead of grow up. Without worship, without that habit of worship, even though there's times when I'm feeling like Psalm 73, I don't understand what God's doing, I don't understand why everything I'm giving to Him doesn't seem, it just seems to be going without any response. Without that habit of worship, we will give up instead of grow up. Because we're going to be missing two things. I don't remember if I put both of these in a row. But one, we're going to be missing His perspective. And two, yeah, we're going to be missing His grace. I just want us to think about this for a moment this morning. The psalmist says, I couldn't figure out what God, I couldn't understand the truth. I mean, the truth seemed like God wasn't with me. God didn't care about me. It didn't seem like the truth until I went into the sanctuary. And that's why Sunday morning worship is so important. It gives a little perspective check on life. When I can't do it my own anymore because I'm overwhelmed. It gives them a little perspective check and begin to realize, you know what? As I get into the presence of the Lord, wait a minute. Now I understand. I share, and you'll read it as one of the devotions. I think it's Tuesday. When I was finishing up college, I was trying to stay in the area where I went because Sarah, my fiance, was there. And I interviewed for a job, and I thought, man, I bet I got this job. I feel like I did well. I think I'm qualified. And 2 weeks, man, I was faithful to pray first. I prayed every day. But the deal is, I prayed according to my agenda, right? I mean, I didn't like, God, do you want me to have the job? I didn't do that prayer. I said, God, give me that job. Now, you know, it's just that, and what happened was after 2 weeks, I didn't get the job. And I was upset. I was like, God, I prayed. I thought prayer worked. I thought having faith was good. I thought you cared about me. What happened? And I got all frustrated with God because I wasn't praying His will be done. I was praying my will be done. And I thought that was the truth. And then, you know, long story short, what happened was it turned out it was a blessing I didn't get that job because that company was a nightmare. But I'm there all frustrated because I'm looking at it from my perspective and my time and my way. I'm thinking, God doesn't love me, doesn't care, He's not listening. It's like, no, come on up a little higher, Sean, to the truth. Because I always love you. And I'm always good. And there's not a day I'm not working good towards you. And there's not a day that my spirit isn't going to provide the daily bread you need. But we need that perspective. And you know, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it starts with our Father in heaven, hallowed be. It starts with, hey, wait a minute, before you talk about anything else in your life, let's just remember who I am and how I'm with you. Because then when you pray, by the way, God, your will be done, like when you pray about my future, you're not going to understand the perspective of your future if you first don't understand who I am and how great I am. Well, and then if you're going to pray about that job and the money you need and how to deal with your finances and what needs to happen for that door to open, well, you're not going to understand the right perspective about that if you haven't started out with, hallowed be thy name. You know, you're not going to understand. You're not going to have the right perspective about relationships. Because at some point in that prayer, you're going to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Trespass, I'm going the other version. But that's about relationship. And God, I'm not going to have any right perspective about any relationship if I don't first get into worship and begin to hear from you. I'm not going to understand. I mean, there are a lot of weaknesses in my life, and nobody knows them better than I do. And nobody beats I'm harder on me than anybody else, and conviction's a good thing, but there's a lot of times I slip into condemnation, and I don't get it, because if I start from me as the perspective, me from the vantage point, I'm going to get it all wrong, what God wants to do to heal and to overcome my weaknesses. And if I want to really talk about victory in life, and I somehow don't understand that God is victory and he's the greatest, if I don't start from a heart of worship, boy, I'm going to be chasing things that aren't even victory. They're not even important. And yet I'm going to be doing, because somehow I've ascribed that they're the greatest thing in my life, and I've forgotten that God's way, way bigger than those things. So I want to encourage you that truth starts in worship. And that Lord's Prayer that we're going to pray at the end of today, it starts by saying, wait a minute, I've got the right perspective about all these things I'm about to ask for. Because God, I know you're faithful. I know you're faithful, and I know you're good. And then I want us to realize this, and I tell you, this is a particular part of this message that is on my heart for each of us here today. And it's that worship brings us grace. Don't forget that Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not yourselves, it is the gift of God. You know, we're going to hear a lot of truth in church. You're going to do your devotions, and you're going to hear a lot of truth. But our faith is based on the very foundation that it doesn't matter what truth you know if you don't have any grace to live it out. Our whole salvation is based on the fact of not that I just know the truth, but that there's also a grace for me to live out the truth. And a lot of us in this room, and a lot of times it's me, we're staring a truth in the face about something that needs to change in our life, and yet we don't understand. So we just pray, God, forgive. You know, we don't look at grace and say, God, would you give me the grace now to live out the truth? Sometimes as we're taking care of our family, we see like, why don't they follow the truth? Don't they know the truth? And in our head we go, yeah, I've told them several times about the truth. Well, what's the issue then? Is it truth anymore? No, it's grace is the issue. They don't have the grace to live out the truth. And so what we do in worship is, where do we go? We go to the throne of grace. We go to the mercy seat first before we get to the law. We go to the place of grace because that truth is very, very important. And there's no such thing as grace if we're not going to live out the truth. But that truth by itself doesn't change us. We need a grace to come in. And every time you and I get into service and we sing about the name of Jesus and we sing about the cross and we sing about the resurrected King has resurrected me, what we're saying is there is a grace that is come from Christ himself that I can take this truth and I don't have to be defeated by it. I can actually begin to live it. There is a grace. I just want to encourage you. Why do I want to make sure if my kids have anything, they have the ability to worship even in hard times? Because all the grace they need is found in the presence of the one they're worshiping. And when life gets hardest, and when life gets leanest, and when life gets dry, it's worship. Yeah, but that's the time I feel least like doing it. But that's the habit you should develop in your life. Because I'm telling you what, if you'll just begin with focus, and you'll begin to just, as you focus, begin to submit. Sometimes submission in worship is actually singing the words. Sometimes we just stand there, and it's kind of like, all right, I'll pay attention to it. But it's actually a surrender of my will. Say, you know what? I'm going to sing this. And so what we want to do is we want to submit to it, and then that experience of his goodness will start to follow in our lives, and we'll be able to say, I started off this way, but then I got into the presence of God, and then understood. Then life changed. And so we want to keep growing. We just want to make sure there's two expressions of worship we have, and they don't have anything to do with Mufasa or here's my baby or my screen, my fish is this big. They have to do, first of all, with personal worship. And the Bible is very clear that worship is a choice that no one can make for you. Worship is a choice that no one else can make for you. Now, I want to encourage you, man, great first step to choose to be in a place of worship. Great first step. Absolutely. But now I'm praying for the grace not just to focus on Jesus, but now to begin to enter in, to submit, to surrender to it. Because worship is a choice I have to make. And I want to encourage you, this week, I'm asking that all of us make this a very intentional week of worship. That we choose this week to, our first 15 is 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in worship, and 5 minutes of prayer. And when we say 5 minutes of worship, we're not saying listen to a worship song for 5 minutes. We're saying sing the worship song for 5 minutes. Actually get your body to agree, your soul, your will to agree with the truth of Jesus no matter how you feel. So I want to encourage you this work. First 15, and let's make this a week of worship. And really, because why? Because we want more of God's wonderful grace to pour out in our life. This week, there's going to be a daily, on the website, I think we got a picture, it's not, if you go to cornerstone.ag and just scroll down, you'll get to, after the keep growing, you'll get to the devotions. And you should have on the back of your outline, you should have tonight's devotion, because it literally starts tonight, and every day of the week, I want to invite you to focus on worshiping God faithfully, making this a week of worship. Also, to keep growing, I must put myself in a place of corporate worship. So again, well done today. Even as you lost an hour of sleep, you're still here. Very impressive. All right, and I want to encourage you, corporate worship in the Bible is a very clear priority, and we want to make sure that we are part of not just personal worship, but corporate worship. Worship, and I just want to remind you, worship in the Word is what is the reason we have service. We get into His presence, which is about worship. We get into the throne room of grace by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't do it flippantly. We know what the sacrifice has been for us to come and worship Him. And then we want to hear from Him, because in His presence, He doesn't want to just bless us emotionally. He wants to begin to free us with His Word, create life, and give instruction to us. And if you look at Psalm 27, it's in your outline there. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Always in the Psalms, it's about being in the house of the Lord to worship. And it's a place where God gives us a fresh grace. Maybe we're trying to worship, and then through the week we're trying, but we can't stop thinking about this or thinking this way, and we get into corporate worship and the differences of the body of Christ, and words from outside my perspective and my experience begin to unlock for me what God wants to say to me. And so that's why corporate worship is so important. Without grace, truth won't help. Now, truth is very, very important, but we need the grace to live it out. And so that's why we come into worship. And we just want to make sure that when we come into worship on Sunday morning, let's give our best. Let's give our best. Let's get here early. Let's be prepared. Let's where we sit, how we just come in with our attitude. Let's give our best to that worship time. And I just want to finish off by connecting it to a passion for God's house. The reason why we have a passion for God's house is because of that issue of corporate worship in our lives. God's house should be where my worship is renewed and grown. It should become a little bit more. I should hear songs that I don't necessarily relate to, or they're not my song, and yet I should grow in understanding the grace and goodness of God in that song. It's like, you know what? That's not my particular style, but I think God spoke to me in a way he hasn't spoken to me before. Maybe there's a day I begin, what was this one? Carry the TV? You know, I start with a little Carry TV because I'm just kind of like, you know, I need to agree with my body, not just here. I want to agree. God, I just believe I'm open to you right now. I want you to come, and maybe it gets to the big screen there, and you end up getting, I forget, Rocky, touchdown. I forget what the end is, but it's just, you know, I want to be someone who grows in worship. And I want you to remember this, that God's house is also where others come to worship God for the first time. We're going to be in our Keep Growing class, which is for our new attenders. I want to encourage you, there's several of you here. We'd love for you right from here to go up to room 208 and join us. It's okay if this is your first week. You don't have to start a particular week. We'd love for you to come right after service, go up to room 208. And one of the things we're going to talk about is Sunday morning is not just a place of celebration, and it's not just a place of expectation for the body of Christ, but it's also a place of introduction. Because this is the body of Christ, and there's some people who have heard about Jesus, but they haven't met his body yet. And when they come into our Sunday morning service, they're introduced to who he is for the first time. And that's what the house of God can be. Jesus, in Matthew 21, he comes and he clears out the temple. Why? Because he is so frustrated that the people who are even leading the worship there and who are organizing the house of God, they've forgotten, they've made it cluttered, they've put hindrances for someone to come and truly worship the living God. In John 2, that same story, his disciples remember that Jesus is all about zeal for his house. And when we love worshiping God, we have a zeal for his house because we're all about our chance to get into worship with the body of Christ and for someone to come and worship him for the very first time. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to come forward, and I want us to finish with a moment of worship again. I had a really embarrassing experience this week. Let me see. I think we just finish off there. I was running through a number of things this week and had a number of people I wanted to touch base with. And I wanted to touch base with one of our family members, Andre Granderson, whose dad had passed, and I wanted to give him a call. So I was at a stoplight. I was stopped, and I quick, you know, looked up Andre on my phone, hit the button, and then, like, you know, I had to start driving, so I put the phone up, and you know, someone answered on the other line. I was like, Andre, man, hey. I said, it's Sean, just wanted to call, see how you're doing. And the other person, I'm like, Sean Franco, how are you doing? And I thought, this is not Andre Granderson. he's like, Sean Franco, how are you doing? Good to hear from you. I'm like, good to hear from you too. And in my head, I'm thinking, I've got no idea who this is. No idea. But he knows me. I'm like, yeah, hey, I just called to see how you're doing. And he said, I'm doing great, man. Moved to Tulsa, da la. He's telling me all this stuff. And he's like, it means so much that you called. I'm like, yeah, God. And I literally said, I think God just wanted me to call you. I was like, still, no clue who it was whatsoever. I mean, we're 5 minutes in conversation. I still have no idea who he is. And I'm like, he's like, man, it means so much. You know, and he starts telling me some things about the move. I'm like, well, why don't we pray right now? We prayed. No clue who he is still. No clue whatsoever. Man, hey, thanks again for calling me, Sean. It was awesome that you called. Yeah, man. Hey, he's like, man, I'll give you a buzz back some time. I want to keep in touch. I'm like, absolutely do that. Hung up the phone. No clue who he was. prayed with them. What is it? Psalm 18 says, I call upon the Lord and he saves me from all of my enemies. I just felt like, I was like, God, I'm so embarrassed. It literally took me 3 hours to figure out who it was. It took me 3 hours. I finally did. And I was just like, so I'm in the sanctuary praying, and I'm thinking about that. And God's just like, Sean, you know, sometimes people are calling me up. They don't even know who I am anymore. They like totally forgot. I mean, they're calling me. We're like on the phone having a conversation. They don't remember who I am. And I think the thing, the Lord was just like, hey, remind them I'm the one who loves them more than anybody else. There's nobody who loves them more than I do. And they may not see it in their circumstances, but tell them that's what faith is all about. So I just want to encourage you. I don't know what your eyes are seeing. I don't know what your ears are hearing. I don't know what your heart is feeling these days. But I'm telling you what, we're about to call upon the one who loves you more than anybody else, and nothing's impossible for him. So I'm going to ask if you just take a moment to stand and just return to a heart of worship. Would you just take a moment to focus on, submit to, and experience how great he really is? Just take this moment of worship. We got plenty of time. Take this moment of worship. Let it be his.